Because we have a sinful nature, we cannot have a condemning attitude. Now, let God do the judging. Don't say anything other than what God says. But we can't have a judging attitude simply because of the fact that there are no witnesses to witness against you. Because you can't find one that's innocent. How are you going to take somebody to court when you're guilty of the same thing? So it's not that we can't have a trial. We just ain't got no witnesses, Deacon Mac. We could level the charge, but out of all the people on the planet, ain't nobody qualified to do the charging. Jesus said, y'all can have a trial, go ahead, and we can stone her. But you got to start off with the one that ain't never sinned. Jesus knew how to break up a crowd, didn't he? Them people were quiet as a church mouse. Those people, I'm telling you, it was crickets. You could hear a pin drop in that same courtroom that they drug that woman in, and all that noise and all this commotion. Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act. I mean, she probably still breathing, and we caught in the very act. Now, we got to, what do you say? Jesus said, he that without sin, cast the first stone. It's something about, now when they dropped the stone, they were admitting their own guilt. Amen. When they didn't hit her, that's what they did. They were admitting their own guilt. And so now, here you are bringing somebody that you, about something that you yourself are guilty of. It's funny how we can be loud about other folks' sins. Amen. I've been wondering when the Lord's gonna give me this message. But when it comes to our sins, we ain't got no comments about ours. But we got a whole lot to say about somebody else's sin. Oh, we spent a long time talking about other folks' sin. We love to talk about other folks' sin. But the truth of the matter is that God, we're spending our time talking about something that God has already fixed. When you got saved. When I got saved, God forgave me of my sins, past, present, future. He saved me of all the sin I ever did that you don't know about. And some you may think about, I know about. All the sins I'm doing and all the sins I ever do, God done already covered your future mistakes. He done already covered. He didn't just die for the sin you at the time you confessed. He died for the sin you're going to sin, the thing you're going to do. He died for your tomorrow sins. Isn't he a good God? He said, I'm dying for the sins, past, present, and future. Meaning I've been declared innocent by a judicial act. God has declared me innocent. That is my position. However, I'm in a bad condition because I'm in a human experience. I'm in a condition where I can make mistakes, but I'm still innocent. My condition is that I'm guilty, but my position is that I'm innocent. I've been to court already. When I came down the aisle and acknowledged my sins, I got forgiven of my sins. Jesus dropped the charges. Tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. My record has been expunged. But people spend a whole lot of time talking about other folks' mistakes. If we spent the time and the money and the energy we spent, the effort we spent in talking about something that's already been paid for, we're wasting time. Why waste time on something that's already been fixed? The human condition tells you you're going to make a mistake. That's why he died for your future sins. Jesus didn't say, okay, now you come down the aisle, Keith, and you ain't supposed to ever sin again. God knew that we would make mistakes even after we got saved. I'm dying for sinners. And even when you get saved, you're still going to be a sinner because you're a saved sinner. You're still a sinner. You're just a saved sinner. But Christians are busy trying to talk about things that God done forgave folk of. It does not make any sense at all. But they love it doing. They love doing it. They love that good juicy gossip. They hear about some sin, or they one preacher said they amen. They engage in sin sniffing. Is anything under there? They doing anything? A little probe poking, you know, something going on. Tell me, child. Tell me. Digging around. The energy we spend trying to cover something that God has already fixed, we spending our energy doing the wrong thing. Right now, you can get folks to stay on the phone with you for hours talking about something nobody even know if it's true. All they need is just a little piece. Just a little piece. We can chew on this for hours. And you know, sometimes what you say may be true. But it's already paid for, so why are you waiting? It ain't gonna make no difference if it's true or false. He done cleared us of the sins we gonna commit. And you know, whether it's thought, word, or deed. Because you know, you don't have to sin. It ain't something that you do. It can be something you don't do. But we like to pick out sins. We like to talk about body sins. We don't like to talk about folk that don't believe in praying, or folk don't come to Bible teaching. We don't talk about these other sins. We pick the good juicy ones we like. We like to talk about their physical sins. We don't like to talk about anything else. But the truth is that there are all kinds of sins. And we don't talk a lot about, you know, these folk, you know, what, child, I heard that he didn't tithe. No, he don't believe. You mean he didn't tithe last night? No, he didn't tithe. He don't believe in tithe. People don't talk about those kind of sins. That's a sin too. That'll bring a curse on your life. They say, well, you know, child, he don't believe in using his gift. You know, he don't believe in helping nobody but the folk he liked. He said, isn't it wrong to only help folk you like? Amen. You know, they don't believe in praying for their enemies. We don't talk about those kind of sins. We go pick out something juicy. We pick out something, amen, different. But we don't. If you're going to talk about sin, amen, number one, you shouldn't be talking about it. If you're going to talk about it, talk about all of it. Don't be picking out certain sins. There's a whole lot more sins than physical sins. There's a whole lot more sins than adultery. Have I got it with me? And God has fixed it so that, if you're going to talk about something, talk about some sins that can be more beneficial. You know, amen. Are you reading the word like you should? Are you praying like you should? Are you witnessing like you mean you ain't sharing your faith? I heard they are not sharing their faith. We don't get on nobody about witness. They don't care if nobody don't tell nobody about Jesus. That sin is okay. That one is all right. That's all right. Amen. But don't let me catch them drunk or drinking. Oh, did you see them coming? I heard they was coming out of the store with a brown bag. I heard they was coming. I seen them. That'll spread like wildfire. You get something like that, you know they were at the club. They were gambling. They had a lotto ticket. They were playing bingo. Have I got the witness? Now all those sins, we don't like to talk. You know, but the truth of the matter is that they're all kind of sins. Amen. These guys were, you know, if we're not careful, the church spends too much time. We're not going to do a good job for the Lord when we're talking about something that God has already paid the bill for. We got to quit spending a whole lot of time talking about the mistakes. Because I told them this morning, what the mistake we make is that we focus on symptoms instead of sources. I don't have time to go into it, but that's what the problem is. We talk about what folk do, but we don't talk about why they do it. Why was this woman in that hotel in Jerusalem? Well, I don't know if they were even in a hotel in Jerusalem. Amen. Love, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, love is a need. And when it's not, you don't give people love, they have a tendency to search for it because it's a natural need. They're starving for love. And if they're not getting what they ought to get, that's the source of the problem. Being in Jerusalem, just a symptom. But the source is something ain't going right at home. Now, this here's a little too deep for y'all. Did I cut too deep? There's a reason things happen. But the church never interested in knowing why. When something blow up, I didn't know what happened. Nobody said, you know what? If a few Christians would have focused that out early and went over and talked to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, they probably wouldn't have got in that situation. But all we do is wait for something to blow up. We talk about what blew up, but we ain't doing nothing to stop things from blowing up. There's a whole lot of more folk having these flings going on all the time. It comes out all over the place because we are all sinners. And when there are unmet needs, people do things that they don't even perhaps want to do. Doesn't justify it. Jesus didn't say, okay, you have to keep doing it. No, he didn't say that. He said, no, hold them up. You do need to hold them up. Go and sin no more. Amen. Keeper, you need to put a lid on that. It speaks to the fact that we have to be very Christian. We may be promoting folk to do bad things. Well, let me get on. I'm cutting. I think you know what I'm trying to say. The truth of the matter is many of us are going to go to heaven empty-handed. Instead of getting folks saved, you're around there talking about the folk that's already saved. Put your energy into some lost people. Not some folk already going to church and already singing in the choir and already trying to live right. They don't got somebody to pay for their sins. Hell is going to be populated by sinners. While we spend all that time talking about saints who are human like everybody else. They're going to struggle. People are always struggling. People are struggling with one thing or another. But the fact of the matter is we need to work on trying to focus on the lost people. Jesus, you wonder why Jesus didn't spend that much time or spend that much energy on it. Why did he want to give too much attention to it? Jesus knows that what we need is to worry about saved people, not so much people, unsaved people, not so much. Now, the Bible makes it plain. It says that he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Amen. They could go ahead and stone the person, but Jesus says, when he made that statement, they thought about it, and ain't nobody did nothing. You see, what you got to understand is that there are all kind of, I don't think I'm going to go into that. The truth is, there are all kind of sins. But he says, they left the woman standing in the midst. So there Jesus is standing in the middle with the woman. Woman half-dressed, caught in the very act, and all the folk gone. But there was hope extended to her. Jesus extends hope. Amen. If you're a Christian, you ought to have hope. Amen. You ought to extend some hope to somebody. You ought to let them know, you know, I've been there too. But we wouldn't dare do that. We ain't going to tell nobody I've been there too. Christians are busy trying to make folk think that they ain't never did nothing wrong. And they too holy to do anything wrong. But the fact of the matter is, you ought to let them know that I've been there, done that. God says, I want you to understand that I want to forgive. I want to extend my love. You religious leaders, you must not have enough to do. You're out here finding folk making mistakes and dragging them down here to my meeting. And there are much more things you ought to be doing. But Jesus extends hope to this woman. He said, neither do I condemn thee. And I'm the only one who really can. I'm not going to condemn you, and I'm the only one who can. You see, the truth of the matter is, people are struggling. Amen. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be struggling. People are struggling. People are straining. But the truth of the matter is that God loves us enough, amen, to extend his love to us. Wouldn't it be good to have Jesus? Isn't it good to have know that you got you Jesus? Now Jesus wasn't going to be judging us, by the way. Jesus is the judge. There's only one judge, and that's Jesus. And we got to figure out a way to quit trying to focus on what somebody, all the mistakes that people make. And we just need to shut up. Amen. We do. We really need to just be quiet. We need to shut up about folks' sins, because everything is not a public issue. But the fact of the matter is that we spend a lot of time. Have we got a witness? If we spent the time talking about getting folks saved as we did about their sins, the world would be a better place. The church would be a better place. If we spend more time wasting our time and our energy talking about things, if we spread the gospel more than we spread the gossip, it'd be more folk knowing about Jesus. If we were to spend more time focusing on someone's soul instead of their sins. You know, we're not concerned about their soul. We're concerned about their sin. Church, God ain't died us and left us in charge to be concerned about folks' sins. He does the saving. But we're supposed to be concerned about people's souls. When last time you been concerned about somebody going to hell? If those in beauty shops, those in barber shops, those getting their toes did, their hair done, manicures and pedicures, need to find something to talk about instead of sitting around talking about something Jesus done already paid for. Tell your neighbor, Jesus done paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he has washed it white as snow. Have we got a witness? We need to spend our energy talking about those things. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. There are people hurt now. There are people damaged now. Because Christians go around hurting one another. Amen. There are people now who need mercy and forgiveness and need somebody to put their arms around them and need somebody to talk to them. Not to condemn them. God said, I didn't come to condemn you. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. I didn't come to condemn the world. He said, I come that the world through me might be saved. John 3:17. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation. After all, you did the same thing you complained to them about. We've done the same thing we complained to our kids about. Have we got a witness? Talked about that last Sunday. But we got to recognize that God wants us to shut up about sin and start talking about the right thing. He took care of the sin. What you need to do is to help the sinner. Sin is in the human existence. But if you have a holy encounter with God, you'll find compassion instead of condemnation. And you will have hope. His hope will be extended to you. Isn't it good news to know that God extends hope for the person who's messed up? The Bible says, I've come to save the lost. Who are the lost? Well, you know, Jesus has a history record of saving folk. The woman at the well who had five husbands and was still with somebody else. In John chapter 4, she dropped her water pots and said, come meet a man. There are records of change. There are records of deliverance where God has changed folk who were messing up big time. This woman had had five husbands and was still hadn't gotten it together with somebody else. And when Jesus got through with her, she dropped her water pots. And she said, come meet a man. Why don't somebody want to find some Christians like that? That's what they ought to say about us. People ought to be trying to meet us. Jesus met a man. I'm going to talk about him next week. Zacchaeus. He was not a tall man, but he made plans for the future. He ran ahead and got up in the tree, and he wanted to see Jesus coming by. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I have come to abide at your house today. salvation has come to your house. I didn't come to condemn you, Zach. I came to save you. Have I got a witness? He was a sinner. He was a rich sinner, but he saved him. God forgives us. Now, for those who don't think that God changes people, you need to go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and start at verse 9 and read through verse 11. And when you start there, you'll find out that God says, I save the adulterer, I save the fornicator, I save the idolater, I save the adulterer, I save the homosexual, he says the effeminate, he says I save those who are drunk. In verse 10 of chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I came to save and to seek and save those which were lost. And he says, such were some of you. What I'm saying, church, is there are records of change in the Bible. God changes people. And they don't have to go to hell. They can be changed. And so while we witness to them about Jesus, Jesus will change them. While heads are bowed, Father, I want to thank you for your change ability. We know that you're the God that changes us. You're the one who makes a way out of no way. You're the one who recognized that our human experience is that we've had a bad experience with sin. And it's messed up. It's in our bloodstream. Sin is. And now all we can have are other bouncing baby sinners. It's in our bloodstream. Everybody born in America will be sinners. We have a bad human experience. But I'm glad to have a holy encounter with you. And I know you can take my life and change it. Because the record shows that you extend your hope. Help us to spread love. We're not going to condone sin. We're going to say what the Bible says about it. But we're not going to act like we haven't sinned. We're not going to authorize our sin. We at least ought to be shamed about our sin. But we can't approve our sin. We may say we're sinning, but we're trying to hide it. We may say we're sinning, but we don't want nobody to know it. We know it's wrong. But the problem comes when we start saying our sin is okay. It's all okay. God understands. No, you don't understand. You're the judge, but you can change us. There's somebody that don't know you today and they need salvation. They can be forgiven of their sins, past, present, and future, and they'll be with us in heaven. Help them to come forward while this song is rendered. Pray with Zion Rest. If you're here today while heads are bowed, pray with us. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe you died for me. I want you to come into my heart. I want to be saved. Save me. I open up my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. While this song is rendered, if God has spoken to your heart, we're waiting. Rededicate your life. If you backslidden, rededicate. Need prayer, come. If you need salvation, come. If you need a church home, come. Whatever God has spoken. But shut up about sin and start talking about salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Pulling me through. pulling me through.
That's all it was. He was, amen.
When I stumbled, when I cried, when it felt like I wanted to die, all my friends stayed, all turned away. You are right here to stay.
Yeah.
It was you, Lord, it was you, pulling me through.
Sing that, sing it. Help yourself. Bless.
It was
you.
Lord, I know it was you pulling me through.
Thank you, Jesus. Sing.
When I stumbled, when I cried, when I felt like I wanted to die, all my friends turned, they all walked away. But you are right here to stay. It was you.
Yeah.
Lord, it was you pulling me through.
That's all right. That's all right.
It was what? You. Lord, I know it was you pulling me through.
Thank you, Jesus.
He will never walk out on you. No, never.
All right.
No, never.
Never.
He'll never walk out on you.
Never.
I'm a witness that he'll never,
yeah.
Oh, never, no, never. I'm a witness.
Sing it.
That he'll never, oh, never.
Never.
He'll never.
Ha ha ha.